Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, I have the author of Beyond the E-Myth, Michael E. Gerber, the one and only. He's on the show this week. We talk about how to go from a company of one to a company of a thousand. We talk about kind of what the mission of this book is and how it's a movement of sorts. So much to get into. I had a fantastic time talking with him. It was such an honor and a privilege to do so. And so let's just get right into it because there's a lot of great stuff here. Here's my conversation with Michael E. Gerber on the Productivityist Podcast. Michael, thanks for joining me today. It's truly an honor.
My delight, Mike. Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to talk, first off, I want to talk to you today about this new book, because there are a lot of e-myth books out there, right? I mean, the pantheon of e-myth books are, you know, it's legendary, and you've got quite a few. How many publications of variations of the e-myth have been put out there already?
28 books.
And it's, you know, I mean, for various professions and it's, you know, it's one of those things where I have a lot of my audience members, a lot of my, even my coaching clients say, oh, you know, have you read the E-Myth? I'm like, yes, of course I've read the E-Myth and I've read the E-Myth for Visited. And the new book, Beyond the E-Myth, is really, you know what, if anything, this book is the one that I've been waiting for a while, because as I was reading it, it dawned on me that this is the thing that I'm building. You know, the evolution of an enterprise from a company of one to a company of a thousand. And before we started talking, I talked about how my wife's upstairs doing some administrative stuff. And we have some assistants and things. And what I want to get into today is the idea of, first off, I know I was a company of one and you know, have struggled to get out of that into this higher level of this enterprise. So what is a company of one? Like, and where, how does this book kind of help that company of one scale up?
Well, a company of one is very easily defined, and everybody will know whether they are or not when I describe it. A company of one is simply a company that depends upon the owner. Mm-hmm. In short, you take the owner out, there is no company. Or if there is a company, it doesn't nearly approach what it was or did when the owner was there. So most small businesses are a company of one, whether they got six people, nine people, 20 people, doesn't really make any difference because it all revolves around the owner.
And then how?
So the owner creates a company, it depends upon him.
Right. And I feel that I'm that way because a lot of the stuff that I've come up with is IP. And when you read the preview, I had a chance to read the preview of the book. We talked about McDonald's gets mentioned quite a bit because it's kind of I think it's a great example of a company that's basically was initially, you know, two guys. Right. And then Ray Kroc came in and he kind of said, let's build something. Let's build a turnkey operation so that other people can do this. Were you ever a business of one? Like when you were building your business, I mean, you're obviously a business of one to start. Was that something that you recognized quickly and then said, okay, hold on a second, I need to shift this? Or was, as you mentioned this book, was it you've always had this idea of when you started your business that it can't be just me, it has to be able to scale exponentially?
Well, our business, I started in 1977. It was called the Michael Thomas Corporation. Ergo, I was Michael, he was Thomas. We called it a business development firm. And in fact, it came to be the very first business coaching company on the planet. When I started it, I didn't start it to become a coach or a consultant. We didn't call them coaches then. We called them consultants. I didn't start it to become a coach or a consultant. I started it to invent a business that could deliver a product, a service, in the hands of relative novices, but with the intelligence that we call then artificial intelligence system, a business development system that we could deliver to very small companies at very low cost with very high impact. That's how we positioned it.
Why don't you think a lot of businesses start out with that in mind? You talk about the four ideas and the four different segments of it. We'll get to that in a second. But why do you think a lot of business owners, when they start out, myself included, just think, I'm going to start a business, I am the business, And that's just the way it is. Why don't you think people give it as much thought as you did?
Well, it may be simply because I was already mature, meaning I was in my early 40s when I started.
Right.
I wasn't an entrepreneurial wannabe. I never really was interested in entrepreneurship or business. It just came about as a consequence of a number of different things that occurred. So call it serendipity. It just happened. But when it happened in a way that led us, my partner and myself, to see it as a franchise. So from day one, the conversation was to see it as a franchise. And that meant that we were going to build a franchise. Not a job for Michael or a job for Tom. 99% of the guys who go into business don't start it to build a franchise. If they ever decide they're going to do a franchise, they do it long after they start their business. They start out with a little restaurant. It simply goes well. And somebody says, hey, man, I'd love to have that restaurant in Milwaukee. And they say, nah, well, you know, I don't know. And so they convince them to franchise it. And it just sort of willy-nilly happens. In most cases, that's what happens. In our case, that isn't what happened. So you might say that I was the opposite of what most people do when they start their own company. Most people are what I call technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure, meaning they want to become their own boss. They want to do what they know how to do, but they want to do it for themselves, not for the guy they're working for. So very often, the guy who starts his own company is already doing what he's starting his own company to do, but he's doing it as an employee of somebody else. I don't know if that was true of you.
I'd say so.
Okay, yeah. So that's why. You understand? So
yeah.
Heck, I could do this on my own and take home all the money.
Well, you know, you could only scale so far. That's what I've recognized with my own self. Anyone that's been listening to my podcast for a while has heard my journey and knows, okay, Mike is stretched. That's all he can do. And what you mentioned in the book is you talk about how to, if you're already established, how to make that shift. And can you touch on the whole idea of old co versus new co? Because I used to, and up until I, you know, had the chance to read this, I'm like, ah, but you know, I've been doing it wrong. I've been trying to apply it to the existing thing. So if we could talk about like that transition from old co to new co, I'm sure that I'd get it coming right from you, but also my audience would kind of go, okay, what does that mean?
Well, it's very, very simple. I've been in the business. We've been in the business. E-Myth has been in the business of, as I call it, fixing broken businesses. So effectively, all of our clients have a broken business, and that's why they're attracted to our story, the story in the E-Myth Revisited, the story in E-Myth Mastery, the story in the E-Myth Manager, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they're attracted because they want to fix the broken business they've got. So we built a system for doing that. The only problem is it's the most difficult thing in the world to do because you're going to work in quotes on the business with all the mismatched things that have been created willy-nilly as you started your company. And it's almost impossible, literally, to fix it permanently because there's so many resistant energies to that. You know, the guy who's doing this, the guy who's doing that, your assistant, your financial guy, your and on, all the people who all got their own opinions why it's not working. So going in and fixing what's not working is the opposite of what I decided I was going to do. And that's what brought about Beyond the E-Myth. The evolution of an enterprise from a company of one to a company of 1,000. I was going to invent a new way to do what had to happen if small businesses are ever going to succeed. And that came about with this two minds. One part of me focused on Old Co. That's the way we make our living. That's what you do, Mike, Old Co. That's mm-hmm. your current operating business. But the other mind focused on New Co. Meaning, if I could invent this all over again, how would I do it? If I could do this without having to fix all the stuff we've, you know, created, how would I do it? Well, first of all, I wouldn't do it so that it depended upon Mike Vardy. I'd do it in a way that didn't depend on Mike Vardy. What would it depend upon then? A turnkey system that would enable me to scale it as far as I wish to. As I say, from a company of one to a company of 1,000. So rather than me working with Mike to fix Old Co., rather than Mike working with his client to fix Old Co., and you know what that's like because you do it, how about instead we start with a blank piece of paper in beginner's mind? That's the positioning of Beyond the Dream, Beyond the E-Myth. A blank piece of paper in beginner's mind. And we start that by beginning the conversation in a different way. I want to have the conversation with Mike Vardy, the incipient entrepreneur. I want to start the conversation with Mike Vardy as though you were Steve Jobs. I want to start the conversation with Mike Vardy as though you were this extraordinarily robust entrepreneur who's conceiving of a company that can grow to become an enterprise to the finally moment when you actually are acquired. So you're going to be acquired by Apple, or you're going to be acquired by Facebook, or you're going to be acquired. You understand, you're going to be acquired.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things I noticed right away in the book was, and it kind of took me aback because it's like you start the business not to have the business forever, but to sell it. And the first thought that came to mind was, oh, but it's mine. Like, which it, you know what I mean? Like, how do you get people to get, and I want to get into the four kind of
going to do
core
that.
Components, but I definitely want to touch on this really quickly, which is when people have that thought, because that was my first thought was, But it's my thing. Like, why would I want to sell it? Why is that? First off, why does that feeling come
up? Ultimately, it's because of mortality, Mike.
Yes, this is true.
Sam, Mike, how old are you now?
I'm in my early 40s. I'm 42.
Right. You're 42 years old. So you are almost exactly the age at which I started my company.
Right.
So you're at 42, but I wanted to think 72. I wanted to think 62. I wanted to think 52. I wanted to think about the evolution of your life as you begin to think about the evolution of your enterprise. You're building a product for sale. You're building a legacy. So in our new positioning, we say every life a legacy, every small business a school. So Mike Vardy has the opportunity at 42, this young, vibrant age, the young family, to go to work on NewCo, to conceptualize something you'd never conceptualized before. And the presumption, of course, is that there's a way of doing that. Mm-hmm. But you understand, that's my presumption in any case. There's a way of doing everything. So instead of simply creating a company dependent upon Mike Vardy, it's called the Mike Vardy Show. What if we were to create a company called Widget, and it's the Widget Show? Well, what does Widget do that Mike Vardy doesn't do? Damned if I know. But I'm going to figure it out. Why? Because when I'm done with Widget, it doesn't mean me. Ergo, I can expand it far beyond my own capacity, my own capability, my own sensibility. That's entrepreneurship. That's what entrepreneurs do. Everybody else on the planet doesn't do that. They create a lifestyle business. They become a solopreneur. They create a job for themselves, no matter how grandiose they want to make it. And essentially, I'm saying the difference between the two is the difference between night and day.
And, you know, as I was going through the book, I thought, yeah, this is exactly, you know, it tapped into the idea of service and help and how I want to do that. And, you know, the solopreneur thing, definitely not for me. And what's funny is when I sat down and looked at the idea of the dreaming room, which, we're going to get into, I thought this should have been done eons ago. And I'm glad that it's NewCo now that I'm looking at and doing that. So why don't we talk a bit about what the dreaming room is and the four components that are inside of that platform for exponential growth.
Great. Well, let's look at the platform for exponential growth inside of you.
Sure.
So in essence, the four categories, the four qualities, the four personalities are really something that I'd done before when I talked in E-Myth about the small business owner. The small business owner has three personalities: the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. Unfortunately, very little entrepreneur, almost no manager, but a lot of technician. In short, they all go to work, doing it, busy. But I took, in this process, decided to then take apart the entrepreneurial personality. In other words, what is an entrepreneur? Well, in the conversation with myself about what is an entrepreneur, I had to look at what an entrepreneur actually does. What an entrepreneur is and what an entrepreneur does are very, very, very straightforward. First of all, an entrepreneur is a dreamer. Think Martin Luther King, I have a dream. Listen to Martin Luther King tell his story, I have a dream. I want you to imagine for a moment, because Martin Luther King wasn't, however, an entrepreneur. He was a visionary. But imagine Martin Luther King's dream being expressed by a guy like Steve Jobs or a guy like Mike Vardy. Mike Vardy says, I have a dream. What's the dream? The dream is the great result I intend to produce by inventing this company that's going to have a profound impact on the world. What world? We'll get to that. So the dream is the great result. The second personality within an entrepreneur is the thinker. The first is the dreamer. The second is the thinker. And the thinker has a vision. What's the difference between a vision and a dream? Well, a vision is the form my company has to take in order for us to realize that dream. And so in my case, my dream way back in 1977 was to transform the state of small business worldwide. That was the great result, the transformation of small business worldwide. Well, that's huge. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to do that by inventing the McDonald's of small business consulting. Now, the minute I say the McDonald's of small business consulting, you immediately think system. Obviously, I'm going to create the McDonald's of small business consulting, meaning it's replicatable, it's transformational, it's differentiable. It's going to do something that's highly manageable and low cost in the hands of ordinary people, but producing an extraordinary result, McDonald's. So I now have a dream, now I have a vision, but now I've got a purpose. The storyteller has a purpose. The dreamer has a dream. The thinker has a vision. The storyteller has a purpose. And our purpose in my company way back then in 1977 was to make it possible for every independent small business owner, tiny guys, to be as successful as a McDonald's franchisee. Well, holy crap, you can't do that. You can't do that because nobody's ever done that. Most small companies aren't as successful as a McDonald's franchisee. Most small companies are a disaster waiting to happen. They all fail. And that's a remarkable thing to say. They all fail, but they all fail. So those are the first three important components of an entrepreneur. The fourth is the leader. The dreamer, the thinker, the storyteller, the leader. The dreamer has a dream, the thinker has a vision, the storyteller has a purpose, and the leader has a mission. My mission was to invent a business development system that I could then hand off to a relative novice, our coach, who didn't know anything about business. But through the utilization and then mastery of our business development system, he or she could then deliver the Michael Thomas Business Development Program to small companies everywhere in the world. Turnkey. Just like that. Nobody had ever done it before, Mike. That's what we did. So the minute I tell you that, you can see that becomes then the platform, the foundation for what? Well, in our case, the Michael Thomas Corporation. In your case, Mike Vardy's whatever. In Steve Jobs' case, Apple. In you get my point.
Totally. So
absolutely critical. And so the dreaming room is really the vehicle through which we awaken the entrepreneur within anybody who owns a small business or wants to, by helping that individual discover their dream, their vision, their purpose, and their mission, and helping them to articulate it so that, in fact, they can not only feel it and write it down, but they can express it. And that becomes the story you tell from day one in your company. And that story then takes form visually, emotionally, functionally, and financially. Become the design of an emerging entity. I'm calling an enterprise. From the very beginning, a company of one. In our case, it was Michael and Tom. You understand? A company of one. Two guys who didn't want to be consultants. Old Co., meaning when we began, sure, we went out and got business. We went out and became consultants. But while we were doing that, we were working on New Co. You understand, our end game wasn't that Mike and Tom do this. Our end game was that it does this. It being the Michael Thomas Corporation. It ultimately becoming eMyth. It ultimately becoming Michael E. Gerber Companies. Now, I'm saying that because we've been through this, and we've been through this hundreds upon thousands upon tens of thousands of times, I finally came to the conclusion I got to make this simpler because we made it very, very complex. If you've read eMyth Mastery, you can understand how complex we've made it. And I'm saying, screw that. We got to make this simple. I got to make this so simple that any dummy can do it.
Michael, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I know you've got a lot of other discussions to have happen today. I really appreciate your time. People, the book comes out December 7th, right?
Yep, book comes out December 7th, and they can acquire it at www.beyondemyth, emyth, beyond, one word, emyth is emyth.com, beyond emyth.com. If they want to find out about everything we're doing, and everything we're doing, Mike, is a movement. And I really want to get you immersed in the movement, Mike, because you really understand it. You really got it. And so I really want to get you immersed in the movement because we're going to grow this exponentially to transform the state of small business worldwide, become the preeminent provider of economic development services worldwide. Every small company deserves to grow. Every life a legacy. We need the help of every single person listening to us right now. Get the book, read the book, take in the book just like Mike did, and then let's talk about making it happen.
Thank you so much for taking the time today, Michael. Everyone, pick up this book. It's the great part is it's a short read too. You walk through the thing step by step by step. I love it, and I want to thank you again for taking the time to be on the show today.
Mike, terrific. Thank you.
And that does it for this episode of the show. Now, we did talk about a few more things in the Patreon edition of the show, and you can grab that by going to patreon.com/productivityist and becoming a supporter of the show. There's lots of other perks that line up there as well, so head over there. That's patreon.com/productivityist. There's a good additional 10 minutes or so of conversation with Mr. Gerber alone right in that episode, just exclusive to Patreon supporters. And then we can have a discussion, because we do that with Patreon supporters in our exclusive Slack community. So again, head over there to patreon.com/productivityist if you'd like to support the show and get the additional content as well. Thanks to John Polster for producing this week's episode of the show and all the shows leading up to this point. If you want to get the show notes in that, you can head over to the blog post or look in your podcast player of choice. They'll all be there. And I encourage you strongly to check out the book Beyond the E-Myth. I had a great time chatting with Michael, I'm so grateful that we were able to do it. That's it for this week. Thanks again for joining me. This is Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast and founder of Productivityist, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.